minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am Steve Perhash, and you guys are in for a treat. It's the dream team. We've got Dusty Evely and Sarah Kelleher. What is up, guys?
Nothing, man. Feels like it's been too long since we've been here.
For real, it seems like it's been forever.
Wow, you guys are just like dripping with emotion right now. I love it.
Brimming with excitement.
I just like every single week that we've done this together so far, Dusty's always like, nothing. I'm doing nothing. So I'm like, I don't know what to say after that.
Sorry, I'll let you lead from now on. Apparently my excitement is dragging everyone down. I apologize.
Yeah, I know. I lead it off with the dream team, and you guys are like, whoa, I'm doing good.
You're bringing expectations up. We're trying to bring them down, and we just want to meet in the middle, Steve. Just temper, buddy. Temper.
I'm sorry that I'm excited about the Packers in February. What can I say, Dusty?
Apology accepted.
There is so much going on right now, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, I don't. There's so many things we could talk about.
We could go for 2 hours today. Two full hours.
Oh, yeah. We totally could do that. Mm-hmm. But where we're going to start today, it's come out that the analytics side of the world is going to be coming to the Green Bay Packers. It's something that I wouldn't say was heavily leaned on with the Mike McCarthy era. It was there. It was present. But I think it's going to be involved a little bit more. So it's there was an article written by Pete Doherty today discussing how the Packers are not going to have a game management coach. So they're going to, you know, rely on the guys they have to help, you know, do these things. And it's not a huge thing that's prevalent in the NFL right now. There's a couple teams that have it. But for you guys, you read the article. Mm-hmm. Tell me your initial thoughts on the fact that the Packers aren't going to bring in a coach. They're going to rely on their first-year head coach to do all of this, you know, critical analytical thinking on the fly.
I mean, I kind of love it. You talked to the analytics department that's there is one that's still in place from the McCarthy era, which, as near as I can tell, the only advice McCarthy took from them was just take timeouts before the end of the half on defense so the other team can score, which was not great.
To be fair, it used to work.
It worked like two times,
his offense. It used to work in like 2010.
Yeah, it worked two times for him. And he was like, you know, I'm just going to keep doing it, man. It's bound to pay off. No, I mean, I think it's good. I mean, I think we were kind of talking about before the show here, but what I really find interesting is less what they're doing and kind of more why they're doing it, kind of the thought process behind it all and kind of how they're going about it, which is, I mean, you talked about the analytics department, and LaFleur talks about that, which was something I loved, where he said, you know, numbers are great. They don't tell the whole story. You're kind of marrying these analytics, you know, kind of when do you go for it, these different kind of yardage situations, what are you kind of looking at, what are you doing, versus what your team is capable of and what the defense can do and kind of how prepared you are for those things. So, I mean, they talked about one of my favorite things is they're just going to have Gutekunst, like, every practice, just throw out a random scenario and go, okay, here's the scenario, you guys got to deal with it. To kind of just get them prepped for every single scenario they can think of. So it's you know, it's on the fly. Obviously, it's happening during a game, but it's something that not only have you thought of in the past, you've also run through, and you're going through as many of these random scenarios as you possibly can. So I can understand the need for kind of a game management coach. I get it. But at the same time, it sounds like the plan they have in place, I like the idea behind it. I'm very curious to see where they go with it or how it works out, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. I'm totally okay with them not hiring a game management coach. And like in the article it was saying, there's only a few teams that have actually, you know, brought someone in for that position. And then the teams were the Rams, the Panthers, the Bucks, and the Falcons. So besides the Rams, it's like there's not much promise there. So is it really that necessary? I don't think so, at least right now. And like you were saying, Dusty, it really seems like at least being in a system where they're actually running through the scenarios, I think that will be very beneficial to them. And I think it'll work, and I'm interested to see what happens with it.
Yeah.
I was very interested to see that Gutekunst is going to be the one coming up with scenarios.
Yeah.
where the hell does that come from? Like, why is GM coming up with the
football scenario? Is that in his job description now? Like,
apparently that's in his silo of information.
He's also got to bring LaFleur coffee. It's a weird setup, man. It's a real weird setup.
I wonder, yeah, if that's in the contracts now that, you know, Gutekunst has to bring him a fresh cup of Starbucks coffee every morning, as well as a in-game scenario written on a post-it note.
I kind of dug it. Like, it is weird, but to me it kind of was almost a these guys are, you know, both younger guys are going to be, you know, hopefully working together for a very long time. Kind of getting that relationship going is kind of that seems like that's kind of a game. Like, for Gutekunst, it can also kind of work as a kind of, not necessarily judging him, but kind of seeing what his reactions will be, yeah. Kind of seeing how he'll do. Like, well, if they face this kind of situation, you're kind of testing him, but they can also have a little fun with it. To me, it seemed like kind of maybe a way to make sure that bond is strong, to kind of strengthen that relationship, since those guys are going to be working very closely together. That did when I read the article, that took me aback. I was like, wait, Gutekunst, the GM? Like, is there another Brian Gutekunst on the team? But I don't know. I kind of dug it. I like it. It's a cool idea.
Yeah, the fact that he's doing it is very interesting. But I think it might be good, like you said. And that way, I mean, everyone that's in the organization that's going to be working close together, they're going to know exactly what's going on with who and at what time. So maybe that's just a little bit of a technique also to kind of build, like you said, that relationship. But just to make sure that everyone's on the same page, because we saw this year that was a thing that not necessarily happened all the time. So maybe if this is a technique to help everybody get on the same page, then I'm interested to see what it does.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to check with Doherty, because when I was in high school, there was a Nicole A. Peters and a Nicole M. Peters. So maybe we have to double check that it's Brian, you know, the GM Brian A. Gutekunst, as opposed to, you know, random Brian D. Gutekunst.
Like Brian with a Y or something. Yeah, the actual, yeah. It says GM Brian Gutekunst, but it turns out, okay, GM is the dude's first name. and Brian is the middle name. I'm not ruling any of these scenarios out.
Not only do you get awesome information from us, but you get just crackpot theories, yeah, of how these
crackpot
things work.
Crackpot? Steve, I came up with that in the past 30 seconds. That is a well-founded theory. How dare you, sir?
And I like to cut you down every once in a while. Though.
Appreciate that, brother.
You know, you're writing for Cheesehead TV. I got to cut you down a little bit here and make sure you're not getting too big for your britches.
You told me I was boring, legitimately, like, opening line of the show, so... You're doing a good job, is my point.
Are you really arguing with me on that point?
No, absolutely not. No.
That's all right. Turning over to some free agency potential names that have been linked with the Packers. Did you guys see this story about Landon Collins today?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So for those of you who did not see, Landon Collins, there was a report, the safety from the New York Giants, Josina Anderson, came out and said that she had heard that he had cleared out his locker and taken everything out of there. And then there was conflicting reports on Twitter, and it was like breaking news, like, Landon Collins has not cleared out his locker. He has not cleared out his locker, like, twice in the same tweet. I thought that was very strange.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Landon Collins replies to that tweet saying, anything I left in there, I don't need, and then put a 100 behind it. So outstanding, like every
great content.
Yeah,
right,
that's
there.
Great social media stuff there. It's, what do you guys think? The safety class appears to be pretty deep. We haven't seen franchise tags come into play yet,
yeah,
but it appears to be that the safety class is going to be deep. What are your guys' thoughts on Landon Collins wearing green and gold?
I don't know that I love it. I think I talked about him a couple weeks ago. Like, I could see him as like a stopgap guy. I've kind of started watching him just a little bit today, just to kind of see. And I've had passing familiarity with him. He seems fine, but there are large holes in his game. I think based on kind of how the safety position has gone, I don't think he's going to command big money anyway. It'd make me nervous if they paid out a lot of money for him. If they gave him like a reasonable 3-year deal or something, and then, you know, try to draft someone to bring along or an eye on something else, that's fine. I don't think I'd feel great if they're like, hey, here's our star safety, Landon Collins, and now he's making $12 million a year.
Yeah.
I don't like that a bit. I mean, you know, $12 million is probably high for what he's going to get, but I don't like that. I think he's fine. I think if they signed him, I probably would not be upset, but I also wouldn't be over the moon, I don't think.
Yeah, I feel like either way, like if they didn't sign him, I wouldn't be like, oh, I really wish we would have done that, and vice versa. I don't know. It just kind of seems like it's like he's pulling some antics right now. So I'm like, do we really need someone like that? Which I will talk about more in a little bit with a certain someone. And
Steve,
I
yeah.
don't know. Like I said, I just wouldn't be like, I'm indifferent about it. Like, we sign him, great. That's someone that, you know, could help us out. If we don't, then whatever. My feelings aren't going to be hurt.
Okay, I'm not really sure I love this dynamic where it's like the two of you versus me. But
I love it.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. So yeah, what they were referring to was I have turned the page. I have decided that I am all on board on bringing Antonio Brown to the Green Bay Packers. I want them to trade for him. I don't want it to be their first round pick, but if they have to do a second or a third, I think I'm sold on that. We were discussing pre-show on how they felt on everything. So I'm going to let you guys lead off and tear into me and tell me why I'm wrong, and then I'll tell you all why you're stupid.
So we talked about this before. I think Sarah, I'm going low, you're going high. I feel like as the that's how we're hitting Steve. I've been talking
That's like
first
trying
all.
to break some legs, huh?
Yeah. No, that's exactly what we're trying to do. I've been going first a lot. Sarah, why don't you lead off this conversation?
I mean, talent-wise, do I want someone like Antonio Brown on the Packers? Absolutely. But like personality and just everything else, not so much. I just don't think it would be the best idea, especially with a first-year coach or that we have to bring in someone that is just kind of being a clown right now with the media. He's saying he doesn't want this in a team, he doesn't want that. He totally bad-mouthed his last organization. So it's just kind of like I'm over it at this point. I think he's extremely talented and would love someone of that caliber to be on the roster, but I don't know. It's high risk, high reward, and I don't know if I'm willing to take the risk.
So this is going to be fun, actually. Sarah's very negative. I think I'm probably somewhere in the middle, and then Steve's all in. I mean, all the stuff Sarah said is true. I mean, he's obviously, I've got him as the best wide receiver in the league. Even if you don't have him there, he's certainly top two or three. I mean,
Yeah,
really,
absolutely.
it's like what Julio and DeAndre Hopkins are probably the only other two guys who you might put above him, but I've got AB above those guys. He works hard, not obviously not a big frame, so he is 30, but that should hold up for a while, I think. So the skill's going to be there, and you know what you're getting with him. Just some of the way he's been acting is throwing me a little bit. It's not just how he's acted on his way out the door, which he's not technically out the door yet. He's still with the
Yeah.
team. They still haven't done anything yet. He's just my favorite was the.
Well, they can't trade him yet.
They can't trade him yet. They can't trade him yet. It sounds like they're probably going to. That's the way they're leaning. But the fact that he's still there and he tweeted his goodbye to Pittsburgh was like one of my favorite things. Where he's like, "See
Yeah.
you guys later." Like, you're
He's
still,
like, bye. Thank you so
you're
much, the
still,
city. I was like, what? Like,
you're
and then
still technically employed by them. You understand?
I just get like total like LaVar Ball vibes from him. Like the way that he's like tweeting right now, like he's like, I'm the best, blah, blah, blah. I deserve this,
Sweet
this, and this. And
Jesus.
I'm like,
Really? Pull LaVar Ball out of this?
I like
I'm
it.
sorry. Antonio Brown is at the top of his game. LaVar Ball is a horrible father. Just an
No, I'm saying with all the antics, like that's the vibe that I'm getting. I'm like, just bring it down. Like you're up here and everybody else is down here. Like we get it.
You can take
And
it down a you, he could take it down a couple notches and still
yeah,
be
and like
making his point,
obviously,
but
like
yeah.
he's super talented and every team that feels like they could go after him is going to go after him. But just like I just feel like it's so unnecessary to act the way that he is currently.
Yeah, and I mean you don't and part of that is, I mean, you don't know how that goes over to the locker room, because I mean really with some of the stories coming out of the Pittsburgh locker room, you got guys who seem like they're done with him. They seem they're fed up with him. But I also talk about how hard of a worker he is. And also that Pittsburgh locker room, good God, That Pittsburgh locker room seems like a total mess. And one of my favorite things, was I don't remember if he finished this. He said he was going to answer 10 questions on Twitter, and he answered 5. And one of them was just basically bad-mouthing Ben Roethlisberger for all the things everyone has been bad-mouthing Ben Roethlisberger for years, but no one in the locker room was. That I thought that was tremendous. I just absolutely adored that. I think it's Ben Roethlisberger, bad person. Bad person. But I mean, you've got some of that stuff. You don't know how to read the locker room. But you also had, was it before this past season when he was throwing crap out of his balcony and almost hit like a 2-year-old kid like 5 stories below? Like that stuff's just like, dude, what are you doing here? It's I get it. I get the talent, and that's why I'm kind of in the middle. Having him on the team, you look at how that offense would just be tremendous. It'd be unstoppable. It would be amazing. But you've also got a young GM, a first year head coach. Some strong personalities in the locker room already, and then throwing Antonio Brown into all of this mix after this offseason. I don't know, man. Like, it seems like you said, high risk, high reward. It seems like things could go real, real bad real quick, or everything could just hum along perfectly because apparently Pittsburgh's just a terrible locker room and he just wanted to get out. Like, it's tough to know, man. I'm in the middle. If they get him, I'm going to be drooling over that offense. I'm going to be scared. I'm not going to be super mad about it, but I am going to be a little worried.
Okay, so I just want to get this all straight and lined out. Sarah thinks he's acting out and shouldn't be, and you don't want anybody who acts out. And Dusty's just kind of lukewarm on it because the locker room is a bad play. He might be bad for the locker room, but the Pittsburgh Steelers locker room might be bad.
Also, almost killed a child, Steve. Don't forget the almost killed a child portion, because I feel like that's big.
Okay.
I feel like that's big and that's relevant. A child. He was like 2 years old, Steve.
Okay.
A child. In the parlance of our times.
On that story, I have to plead the fifth. I haven't read. I didn't know about that. I haven't read that part. I will do my research after this podcast. All those things being said, Aaron Rodgers, how old is he? Roughly mid to late 30s.
35, I think 35. Turning 36, yeah.
Window's closing. It is absolutely closing. And I know everybody says, hey, Antonio Brown is 30 years old. Well, that gives him and Aaron Rodgers a pretty good window to work together. And I'm sorry, it is the time to load up and give him every possible weapon that you have. I love EQ. I love MVS. Don't compare at all to Antonio Brown.
No.
If you can go out the number one, number two, or number three wide receiver, however you rank him, for a second or a third round pick, that's just, you're stupid if you don't. Because this is all about winning football games. Kareem Hunt already got a job again. And you're telling me you don't like Antonio Brown because he's out there and he's tweeting and things like that. I'm sorry. In today's football, you're not going to get your point across if he just came out and was like, you know what, I'd like to be traded. I think, my time has run out in Pittsburgh. I think I've reached the end, and I'd like to be traded. That wouldn't be a story. He would be a joke among social media, but now everybody's talking about it. Everybody is talking about where he's going to go because he actually came out and did it. So, I mean, for me, I think he's smart in the way he's going about things, because he is forcing, he doesn't want to be in Pittsburgh. He's forcing his way out. And I'm sorry for the people that say Ben Roethlisberger, like, he said bad things about Ben Roethlisberger. I'm sorry. Ben Roethlisberger is a horrible person. He is a horrible, so say whatever you want about Ben Roethlisberger, because he is just a despicable human being. So for me, the price is absolutely worth it. If you can get him for a second or a third round pick, you line him up with Tay. I mean, you have the best wide receiver group, hands down. It's not close. And then all of a sudden, you've got Geronimo as your number three. You've got EQ and MVS lining up against your fourth and fifth cornerbacks. Like, to burn down. Like, I'm sorry. This is like, to me, Gutekunst has got to go out and make a bold choice and do something that Ted Thompson wouldn't do.
Steve, correct me if I'm wrong. Brown ghosted his team in week 7 during a playoff hunt game, correct?
Correct? It sounds like you know the answer to that. And you're
no, I believe that's what happened. I've not read about it in a while, but there's a whole thing, like, maybe there's an injury. Like, no, I think Ben Roethlisberger pissed him off, and he took off, and then no one saw him for the rest of the season, and then ended up making the playoffs. But that was a must-win game that he ghosted his team for, that no one could get in contact with him for like 2 or 3 days prior to a Week 17 game that they needed to win to have a chance at the playoffs, that he just decided to not only not show up for, but also not respond to any messages on. Like, it's stuff like it's not just the way he's acting now. Like, that stuff is troublesome to me. And I know that he says he's got a good relationship with Juju Smith-Schuster, and this is not about touches. And yeah, that's probably true. But how is he going to feel if Devontae is the number one? If we're saying Devontae is still the number one, which I believe is the case, how is he going to feel about splitting touches? I'm saying in this offense. I'm not saying he's... I saw your face. I'm not saying that Devontae's a better receiver. But what I am saying...
He's number one. I was like, ooh, really?
I'm saying he's number one. He's number one currently in that offense. And he's number one in Aaron Rodgers' heart and in his progressions, because we know about Rodgers' trust stuff. So Brown's going to come in second banana in an offense where he just had a whole offense blowing up.
Banana.
Yeah, second banana.
I've never heard of that.
Well, it's a thing. I can assure you it's a...
Where is it a thing?
It's a thing. It's a... I mean, that was a basketball thing, and it was a Pippen second banana to Jordan. Right? You guys are crazy.
This is like a dustinism. You, like,
you mean second fiddle?
No, I mean second banana. The second... I'm looking
like
it up.
Banana, I think of like Mario Kart when they slip on the bananas. Like, I don't
right. Well, maybe that's where it came from. That was the origin, Sarah. I'm looking at it right now. Dictionary.com says it defines second banana as the second most important person in an organization or activity. It's a phrase. And you guys legitimately have tears in your eyes. I swear to God, this is a thing. This is weird. This is what derailed us. It's a second.
I want, like, you know, when you like go to listen to the podcast and it says like episode like whatever, and then it says like the typical topic. I want it to be episode whatever this episode is, and then
second banana.
Second banana. That's...
This needs to be the title of this episode.
It's second banana pajamas. Yeah. What are you guys talking about?
All right. Well, I'll try to get us back on track here.
Anyway, so, I'm saying my whole thing is splitting time with coming in. Yeah, that could be an issue. It was my point. Is if Devontae's the number one, Brown is the number two within that offense, and he's splitting touches, he's going to get less touches likely than he ever has, less targets than he ever has in his career. How does he react to that? Legitimately don't know. There's no answer to that question. I just legitimately don't know.
Has he ever been in that situation before where it's like, oh, he was a little bit with Juju, but like,
yeah, he was a fifth round pick. He's been through this before. He wants his money. I
looked this up. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I think if you look at Devontae's targets from this past year versus Antonio Brown's career, like, this is the third lowest targets of Antonio Brown's career is what Devontae got this year. Like, it's just his volume has been insane. And that's the thing. I legitimately don't know. It's just a question I'm posing that concerns me given the events of this offseason. Sorry, Steve. Go ahead. I cut you off.
No, that's fine.
I am your second or third banana. You continue.
This is my thought process. We just went through an awful season. The Packers were not good. Offense wasn't good. And you have a chance to get to have two top five receivers on your offense for a notably lesser price than you normally would. I mean, for me, it's a no-brainer. Like, this Rodgers' time is running out. I don't think he's going to be Tom Brady that will be playing until he's 45 years old. I think maybe 40, you know, could be about the limit. And the guy's got other things he wants to do. So for me, it makes all the sense in the world to just load up, get him have two stud wide receivers on the outside, be able to put, you know, move anybody on, move them all around, because they both can play from, like, Tate can play from the slot, Brown can play from the slot, move those guys around. That opens things up for Aaron Jones, that opens things up for Jimmy Graham. Like, it's the capabilities of that offense, I think you just – you bring him in and you figure it out. And you know what? I know somebody – I think Sarah said, "What, you know, this is a first-year head coach. You don't want to put that on him." If a head coach can't handle this, then I think you've got the wrong head coach.
All your points, Steve, make sense, and that's what I'm talking myself into, but they make sense from a – like a – make sense from a Madden perspective or Stratomatic if you're feeling nasty. It's a – if you can plug and play a player in just based on his skill set and his talent set alone – all of those make perfect sense. But there's so much more at play. And if one player could potentially has the ability to nuke a locker room, is that something you want to introduce? Like, that's just, again, there's, I don't think there's an answer because you don't know how he's going to react. I do think it is telling that he's been more or less fine until this past year. I think he was just fed up. I don't know if you guys saw, there's the thing from earlier this offseason where it was, I think an ex-Bear scout was like, yeah, this is why Antonio Brown was a sixth round pick because of his character issues. Like, dude's had a Hall of Fame career. This is just, I don't want to spend time on it because it's one of the dumbest takes I've ever seen. But the fact that that's the one thing I'm talking myself into is that this is not something that's been a constant throughout his career. This is something that has reared its head in the past year. And now that it's kind of out, and like you said, maybe he's just forcing himself out of town. Maybe he's playing a part. There's no way to know that. And if that's the case, man, it's fine. Everything's going to work out perfectly. But there's no way to know that. And what happens if he gets, you know, he injures himself at age 32 and everything kind of declines, but he's still on the hook for another 2 years, and then he starts getting a little rah, rah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, you're not playing for this year. You know, realistically, you've got like a 3 to 4 year window at this point, to your point, Steve. Can you hold it together for that long? And I think, again, there's no way to know. I want to believe you. There's just no way to know.
Of course, there's no way to know about anything in the NFL. I mean, with sports in general, John Wall fell and slipped and tore his ACL. Like, crazy things happen all the time. To me, it's one of these things. Like, you can sit here and you can do the wait and see. Like, oh well, we can wait and see. Hopefully the wide receivers we drafted in the 4th, 5th, and 6th round, those guys turn out to be something good. Or we can wait and see, and hopefully this offense will turn into something good, or the defense in year 2 will be good. You can wait and see all you want, or you can actually go out and do something about it, like the Rams did and got themselves to the Super Bowl. They went out and they made moves that impacted their roster immediately, and that's what this does. This immediately makes them a top 5.
You can see the hesitance that me and Sarah have, though, right? Like, you can see our point as far as the concerns. Like, there are still, like, I understand what you're saying, but you still have concerns, right?
There's a character concern, for sure. But, I mean, the character concerns don't worry me as much as the performance. It's just it's the way sports works today. Like, if you're very, very talented, you can get away with things. I mean, Greg Hardy got extra opportunities in the NFL when there's no way in hell he should have.
Yeah.
Because he's a talent. Because he was talented.
So that's – if you're saying Antonio Brown should get – a job because Greg Hardy got one. Guess what, Steve? You lost. You just lost this whole argument.
I'm just saying the comparison is.
I understand.
Those, you can hear my daughter knocking on the door right now.
I can. She's like, "Daddy, Daddy, don't talk about Greg Hardy."
But the point is all the same. Same thing with Kareem Hunt. Same with he doesn't have those type of character issues. I'm completely fine with bringing him in and letting that offense go to town, because Aaron Rodgers doesn't have that long that everybody thinks he does. And if you want to capitalize and get another Super Bowl, you need to surround him with way more talent than you currently do.
That's true. That it is true.
Yeah,
that
I mean, I see your point 100%. I just, like Dusty said, I have some concerns.
You have some concerns. Yeah. Okay.
Many concerns. I have many concerns.
Many concerns. Yes. Wow.
But his talent's so good, it's making me try to overlook him. I think that's what it is. There is the talent.
Yeah, it's
but
like
there's...
I really want to, like, want him to come to the Packers, but at the same time, I'm like, his talent right now is going second banana to his character issues. So
that was good. That was good. Look at you guys learning. I'm so proud of you.
Oh God, that's so good. That's so good. Second banana. I can't.
I know. I'm literally going to use that in like my everyday vocabulary now.
I can't believe you guys have never. I want. If you guys use this, Sarah, if you use this, because you're a young person, if you use this, I want you to let me know how people react to it. Because I swear to God, this is a thing.
I will let you know.
See if their reaction is how you guys react.
We should do like a Twitter poll after this and be like,
"Oh yeah,
know what secondary banana is."
It's second. It's not secondary.
Sorry.
And we're going to need to do some hashtags with this as well. Hashtag second banana.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's definitely going to come into play. But
all right, I'll put one up right after the show because I can't believe that everyone's going to react the same way you two reacted to me in unison. Never seen anything like that before.
I have never heard the term second banana.
I love it though. Like I'm totally about it. Like I'm gonna.
It's way funnier than second fiddle. Like
you're welcome. You're welcome.
And all I think of is Arrested Development and the banana stand. And I mean,
always money in the banana stand, Steve.
Well, guys, we were going to do a little bit of draft talk, but shockingly, the Antonio Brown stuff took us a little bit further than we thought.
Who knew?
Yeah, exactly.
Pretends to be shocked.
Because apparently you guys have morals and I have none. I think that's the overwhelming take.
Was your daughter still at the door? Did she hear you say that out loud to her face about the morals, Steve?
Dude, not cool. No, whenever I record, I lock the door okay, so she can't get in. I heard the door jiggling and knocking on the door. I'm sure you guys did too. So, all right. So we're all aware Sarah is not the smartest person and doesn't want Antonio Brown on the Packers.
Wow.
Dusty's in the middle. He's playing second banana and not doing anything.
Kind of moderately.
I feel like I swayed him a little bit, but we'll
see. I thought you were going to say modern banana, and I was like, no.
that's a thing, too. Actually, that's not a thing, but now I want it to be one.
I'm intrigued to see what a modern banana
is. I'm a modern banana about town. You know what they say.
Do we, though? Do we know?
I'm not going to lie, the Pack-A-Day podcast has taken a weird turn tonight.
things have gotten weird, yeah. I apologize.
Lots of banana talk. But hopefully, yeah, hopefully you guys have all... we'd love to hear what you have to say on the Antonio Brown front, because obviously we are all have conflicting opinions. But yeah, we'd love to hear. So guys, you want to throw your Twitters out there so everybody can... your handles out so everybody can tell us how dumb and wrong we are?
Yeah, I'm at Dusty Evely.
Yep, and I'm at Sarah Kelleher 4.
All right, and at Steve Perhatch. So yeah, please feel free to comment and let us know. Also, hit up the poll and let us know if you've heard of Second Banana before, because we're all very intrigued to hear that.
We need
your feedback.
Yeah, I'll have it up for a couple days so everyone has a chance to listen to this and weigh in.
We'll get some retweets going on that one. And yeah, Second Banana. We need to know. We need to get to the bottom of this. So
I think you guys are wrong. I feel like it's going to be overwhelmingly that people know what Second Banana is my feeling. Calling my shot.
What if like you tweet it and I tweet it? Cause maybe it's like a demographic thing.
That's
like,
smart. Yeah. I think that's a really good
point. That's cool. Sarah. So I don't get to tweet it, Sarah.
Well, you can.
I see how it is. This is again, you and Dusty pairing up against me. Like, oh, Dusty, you tweet it and then I'll tweet it. We'll see what our followers say.
Yeah, and then, yeah, we
cool.
just pretend
cool.
that,
I get it.
We pretend that Steve doesn't exist, like we talked about earlier, Sarah.
He's
yeah,
second we'll just, banana right now, so...
No, I'm like third banana.
He's third banana. You have to
I don't
keep
know
up,
if that's
Sarah.
A thing.
It is. I swear that was like a Scottie Pippen thing. That's when I learned about it. It was Scottie Pippen with the Bulls. He was second banana to Jordan.
I mean, that's, you're right,
It's a thing. Okay. You know what? The people will decide. The people will decide whether it's a thing or whether I'm crazy.
I'm going to say it's more 50-50 than, like... than you think.
Nah, man, I think it's 75-25. I'm going heavy into second banana.
Would you like to make an alcoholic beverage bet on this?
Yeah, Steve.
All right, so if it's closer to 75, then I will send you a bottle of something. If it's closer to 50, you send me something from where you're... Yeah, some good stuff.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Done like and it. Done.
Sarah, do you want to? You want in on this?
Then we got to get her really fancy water.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
You can get me like Voss or something really fancy.
Glass bottle. Yes. So if you lose, you owe us like $30-$40 bottles of booze. And if you win, then we will each send you a $2 bottle of water.
She can't legally buy booze. That's the problem. I want to try her fancy water, though.
She can Venmo us money. That's right. That's the thing, right? That's the thing.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. I said it right. Okay, I think that'll wrap it up for us. Feel free to hit us up with your second banana and Antonio Brown stories. We would love to hear them. But for Sarah and Dusty, I am Steve. Tune in next week or 2 weeks from now. Hear us again. And as always, go Pack, go.
From the 16 of New York, first down, goal to go. Rodgers in the shotgun, Williams to his left, here's the snap. Rodgers clean pocket, throws the middle of the end zone, and a dagger! They beat Morris Claiborne to the back line of the end zone, the Packers have won it.
Snap to Wild.
Oh, yes! And taken by Jackson in the end zone for a touchdown!
Geronimo
and
what's Allison.
By Geronimo Allison! Josh Jackson, the rookie, recovers in the end zone in a Lambeau leap to the north end zone stand. The Packers have a 6-0 lead.
Pepperd on third down and 3 in the shotgun. Packers showing a blitz, and here they come. Pepperd looking, hit as he throws it. Deep down the right sideline, and intercepted on the play. Spectacular interception by Kevin King at the 9-yard line of Green Bay.
Snap to Rodgers, looking right. Throws the right side. See, Brown makes the catch and saves it for the inbound.
Oh, he reached back to gather it in, using all 6'5 of his frame. Tumbled out of bounds. Inside the 30 of the 28-yard line.
Hunter Bradley the snap. J.K. Scott down on one knee. Arm extended. Here it is. Placement made. Kick is up.
It is good. It is good. Mason Crosby delivers the dagger. 1 week after his worst day ever, he delivers the dagger tonight.
Third and 5, 13-yard line of Atlanta. Snap, Ryan, looks right, close, right
there. Intercepted to the house for Sean Freeland. Touchdown, Green Bay Packers.
19-yard interception return, and it's 16-7 Packers. And Rodgers looks it over, takes the snap, blitz on, they pick it up, lofting it out.
They got him. 40 yards.
Single back offense behind Aaron Rodgers, who ducks it under center. From the 29 of Green Bay, and here's the handoff off Gamalio. Big hole, straight ahead.
It is Aaron Jones off to the races, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, down the left sidelines, and he's out of bounds. Inside the 10 of the 5-yard line of Miami. Aaron Jones with a first, 67 yards.